Robin.
And this is Olivia, and you're listening to K-Pop Hot Sheet. Make sure to follow us on Instagram and YouTube at K-Pop Hot Sheet and rate us on Apple Music and Spotify if you enjoyed the show. So, welcome back. It's been a little bit of a minute, but we're back and stronger than ever. We have some fun hot topics because it's been a while. Just want to catch up on a few things. So we're going to kick it off with BTS's Suga drunk scootering incident. I wouldn't call it drunk driving because it feels weird. I know it's been a while. It's like come and gone or whatever. Like maybe it's not so hot topic anymore, but it's just so ridiculous. And Robin has not seen the video, so just had to have her see that and react to it. So I'll give you a little bit of background. I don't know how much you know or don't know, Robin, but
I think I have the entire gist of this.
You have the vibe.
Which is saying a lot of how much it blew up, because I don't,
you usually don't follow this stuff. Yeah, or
yeah,
BTS or Suga or anything. But
right,
anyways, to bring people up to speed, some of you are living under the rock and I don't know, don't know this. So Suga is currently serving in the military as a social service agent. So, which is more kind of like admin-like work. They work like 9 to 5. They're able to go home after, yada, yada. So he's like kind of chilling. I guess one night he went out for drinks and was coming home. And it was reported on August 7th that this stuff came out. But this happened on August 6th, so one night before. There was reports that he was found intoxicated on the floor outside of his 91 Hanam Luxury Complex apartment. And that apparently he was riding an electric scooter. He was found by an officer on patrol, and then they detected alcohol and they took him in for a test. And apparently, like, they didn't know he was from from BTS or that he was Suga, right? They just thought he was like a normal guy, which kind of reminds me of the Justin Timberlake incident. Do you remember that? Which was kind of similar. Oh,
I don't really know what happened with that, but I did see the mugshot.
Yeah, well, he was just basically like pulled over and by a young cop who like didn't know who the fuck he was, and like he was driving drunk. And Justin was like, but what about the tour? Because he was on tour. And the cop was like, what tour? Like, what are you talking about? It was just hilarious. But anyways, I digress. So this then blew up. The reports came out and everyone was so like, oh my God, he got a like, they were ready to pounce on him, right? Because I feel like in general, BTS is such a nice, clean image and generally doesn't have any scandals. So this was kind of a huge scandal, and it, I don't know, aunties were ready to go. And apparently in South Korea, electric scooters are only available if you have a license, and it's strictly monitored, and they're subject to the same drunk driving traffic laws as other motor vehicles, which I guess is why people were more upset about it, and also why the officer, I guess, came up to him and did all that. Because I couldn't imagine that happening here unless you were like maybe driving on the road.
I don't know.
Anyways, people were asking for his license to get revoked. People were asking, saying shame on his morals, whatever, big backlash. Then JTBC released a video of him allegedly riding the scooter.
I'm so ready to watch.
Yeah, that's the first link, so click the first link. And
okay, so this is like, all right, I say. All right, so I'm watching this video right now. He's riding a scooter. Yep.
That video is, it's not very clear video, right?
That's it? That's the whole video?
That's the whole video. That's the first video that was released.
Okay, so that's like the proof that he was riding on the roadway drunk.
People were
endangering himself more than anything, because honestly, all these cars speeding by could have creamed him. But
yeah, and also like, no one was hurt in this incident, this whole thing, you know? Like, okay, like he was found drunk. Like something could have happened, sure, but whatever. So he released an apology. I can read it really quickly. He was like, hello, this is Suga. I'm feeling extremely heavy-hearted and sorry to have come to you all over such a disappointing matter. I rode an electric kickboard home last night after having drinks with dinner. I thought it was a close distance and I didn't realize that you couldn't operate it after drinking. I'm paraphrasing some things. As such, I violated traffic rules. I parked in front of the main gates of my home and I fell over by myself in that process. A police was nearby, blah, 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 blah. Although no one was hurt, neither was any property harmed in the matter. As this is inexcusably something I have to take responsibility for, I bow my head and apology to everyone. Da da da.
That shit ain't a kickboard.
Okay, yeah, so then people were upset that he called it a kickboard, and they were like, you're lying, da-da-da-da, that's a scooter, because it has a seat. There's a whole fucking thing now, you know, like, what's a scooter, what's a kickboard? Like, I don't even know what a kickboard is. What the fuck is a kickboard?
It's like a scooter that you stand up on, and, like, they're the electric ones, but they're the ones where you can literally kick, like, more like a skateboard vibe.
Okay, so...
You know what I mean?
Right.
So, yeah, I remember when all this came out, I was so confused. I was like, what was he on? What was he riding? Yeah. Whatever. But, yeah, clearly from that footage, that is a legitimate scooter. And he was on the road.
Maybe.
Right? So, it looks like he was on the road.
Well, and this is where the plot thickens. So, Donga Ilbo, another station, came out saying that the video that JTBC that you just watched had was actually wrong and it was not Suga. So then there's a new video. So click the second one and watch that. It has a bit, like, you'll see a little bit of him riding and then him falling and everything.
Wait, what? Okay. I see what I'm watching. Falling over is my favorite thing that I have ever seen. I'm sorry. That is hilarious.
Like, it's not that serious, right? After you see that video, you're like, oh, poor guy.
Okay, so the two people or three people, how many people just rolled up
on
him?
Oh my god, so many. When they just said an officer, but then you see it seems a bit ridiculous, and it's like, all right, like, what are you, were you guys just waiting around for something to happen?
I mean, that still looks like it has a seat.
Yes, it was still a scooter nonetheless.
It's not as hardcore as the original JTBC footage scooter. Like, that looked like a legitimate, like, almost motorcycle type of vibe. This is more of, like, he was on the sidewalk.
He swerved too quickly and fell, you know?
It keeps looping, and watching him fall over is just, like, bringing me so much joy. I'm such a bad person, I guess. Know. But I find it to be so fucking funny.
Yeah, I just feel like it wasn't... Seeing that was really not that big of a deal. So after that came out, thankfully it did. You know, he was a bit more vindicated that, you know, it wasn't that big of a deal. He wasn't riding on the street or whatever. But anyways, the police investigation, and it's still a DUI case nonetheless. The police investigation ended. It was just sent to prosecution a couple days ago. Some people are coming out now showing support for him. Netizens also were like, oh my god, some of them were like, see, and you guys were ready to hate on him, you should have like stood by him, like blah blah blah. But it's just so funny. It's just crazy to me though, still, that as a news outlet, how do you, I'm curious how that happened. And I feel like I've had this conversation before. I don't know if we had a similar situation, but I remember saying this to you because I used to work at WNBC, and even when reports came out and we knew that they were right because other people were reporting them, we could not report it until we got confirmation from the police or something. We physically had to get some sort of confirmation and say, okay, we also did our due diligence, right? Even if it's being reported mm-hmm. like by all the other news, major news organizations and everything. Because you can't just like jump on one person saying it, right? That's kind of irresponsible, because that's how misinformation can really spread and be hurtful. So I wonder how they corroborated. Is that the right word? Like, how did they find out? Because that video also is so blurry. So who told them that, like, oh no, it's him 100% and you believed it type thing?
I mean, wasn't there already a police report?
Yeah, but the police report might not have had the video. Because the reason why... And JTBC also came up with a statement saying, oh, you know, apologizing that they had the wrong thing. And after the police investigation and everything, they realized, like, the video that they had was not the route that he took home. So, it couldn't have been him.
Oh, yeah. They were just trying to pinpoint, like, the exact time that someone may have gone down that road to get to where he lives.
That's irresponsible. Because, like,
that is irresponsible.
Could be anyone. Yes. And with a video that's really not that clear. So, Anyways, that was the little, you know, I'm glad that you got to see the video at least, because it was hilarious. When I saw it too, I was like, poor guy, not for nothing. I feel like that's more embarrassing than anything.
Oh, that's so embarrassing. Can you imagine? Yeah. Oh, this dude. I mean, whatever. It is what it is. He's in BTS. Like, he'll anything that
fine.
He does.
He'll be fine. I mean, this is nothing compared to what our boy Tael is going through.
Oh, my God. Okay. So, I'm going to preface this by saying that I don't really care about NCT or the NCT universe or the 10,000 subunits.
Yeah, I don't even really know him, honestly.
I don't know who he is either, but he has been removed from NCT and all corresponding subunits that he's probably a part of. I think he definitely is in 127 because SM Entertainment. I'm just going to read the announcement from SM, and this came as a shock to everyone. And I'm sure that if you're listening to us right now, you already know this, but let's just go through the quick little timeline, because not a lot is known right now. There's a lot of speculation and weird things probably happening on Twitter or X about, you know, what may or may not have occurred, but we don't know anything for sure. All we know is that SM released a statement. This is SM Entertainment. We've recently confirmed that Tael has been implicated in a criminal case related to sexual crimes. While looking into the situation, we recognize that the issue is very serious, and we have decided that Tael can no longer continue team activities. We've discussed this matter, and it has been decided he will be removed from the group. Currently, he's faithfully cooperating with the police investigation. We will share additional statements as the investigation progresses. We deeply apologize for the controversy caused by our artists. So, I mean, the fact that SM, who notoriously kind of gives people not only the benefit of the doubt for way too long, but just takes generally, I would say, SM as a company and as an agency, takes a long time to take any sort of action. So the fact that they removed him from the group, released the statement before there was anything from, like, dispatch, you know, in terms of there being rumors or anything.
No, there must have been some really strong evidence. There, that just shows how severe the situation is, or how, like, I can't think of the word. Like, there must be some evidence that's, like, you can't be faking it. They must have his pictures or something, or, like, text messages or whatever, that they're like, oh, this is bad.
It's gotta be bad. So the police shared some information about the investigation, just saying that it was revealed to the Tael X member of the group NCT was accused this past June of having committed a sex crime. According to the police, victim A is an adult woman and had filed the case. Details such as specific charges and the timing of the crime have not been disclosed. SM first learned of the case in mid-August, and Tael has been questioned by the police August 28th. So then there was some back and forth because people were upset that he had participated in NCT 127's 8th anniversary fan meeting on August 3rd and 4th. So he was participating in this fan event after this accusation has been made, but SM was like, hey, we were first made aware of this in mid-August. The police investigation was on August 28th. So they're like, you know, we became aware of this mid-August after this fan meeting. It seemed like they obviously moved very quickly to remove him from the group. So an interesting thing, I think, though, is that when things like this happen, typically either the person or the agency, which now the question is who owns this man's Instagram account, because his account is still not only active, but the comments are still turned on.
Maybe he owns his own personal one.
Why wouldn't he turn it? Maybe the police are telling him not to. I don't know. Like, oh, odd, right?
I wonder if his if it's being confiscated for, like, if there's an investigation and they're like, oh, well, we need your phone or something, right? And he hasn't had the chance to turn anything off or delete anything.
Yeah, but it is, in typical fashion, there's all of the hate comments, all of the people being like, really disappointed. The very top comment right now with 4,779 likes is, guys, stop commenting hate. I can't like them all. people saying, how does he still have 5 million followers? Yeah. There's a lot of people who are just going to continue to stan him regardless of anything, which is always gross, because I can understand being like, hey, innocent until proven guilty.
Well, him being sure, removed from the fine. Group seems very guilty to me. Like, because you know, you sometimes would think you feel so. Like, oh, we're going hiatus and we're like, you know, participating in the investigation. You know, they might have released a statement like that until something came out, right? Before you know something, like, you're not gonna just completely bury a man, I would hope, you know, without knowing the truth. But for them to be like, nah, he's gone, he's out. It's something serious.
Yeah.
With evidence.
But, I mean, the little I know of NCT fans, they're definitely some unhinged people.
I feel like some SM gets the weirdest, like, intense fans.
Yeah.
In general.
So,
you know, I see a comment here, which is interesting, on Asumpi. This person says, I wish foreign K-pop fans understood the reality of what being a South Korean man typically entails. Your favorite male idol might be handsome and talented, but that doesn't change the fact that he was educated and raised in South Korea, a country with high levels of hate towards women. And yes, right, that's not every man. And a lot, I think, of the younger generation in Korea is a bit more global and woke and like trying to change things. But anywhere, right, like even in America, you have people that are more not as conservative, you know, but then you still have actually young people that are conservative. So either way, it's not never black and white. But I remember going on a date in Korea with this guy, and back then there was this like crazy case of this really, really bad bullying that happened in Busan, and we were covering it while I was working in Koreaboo, and it was just gruesome. It was like the worst you could ever think of. Like, it's just like not excusable to me, right? Like, there's like some sort of bullying is bad either way, but this was like they hurt her, like she had to go to the hospital, stitches, everything. So I remember going on a date with this guy, mm-hmm. and I don't know how like it came up and we were talking about it, and I was so shocked when he was kind of like nonchalant about it, and he was like, oh, whatever, like it just happens, that's like the experience. Like, he was almost like excusing it, that like that's just like our culture here, like that's what it is, like it's really not that big of a deal, almost making it seem as like us in America, like we make too much of a big deal of something that's not that serious, although this was like clearly very serious. So all of that to say, it's like, yeah, that made me realize like, oh, I got such an ick from him, that it's just the difference in the mentality, right? That some people are just raised differently, unfortunately. And it's like, you never know, you know? Well, and you think, like, as a global fan, I think you want to think everyone is, like, nice and sweet and the image that they portray. But there is such a dark side to K-pop that we've talked about on so many episodes, right?
Yeah. Well, and I watched the Burning Sun BBC documentary. And at the end, there are people that, you know, worked in the club and were exposed to all of the stuff, and they're like, you know, this is still happening. Like, there's nothing, literally nothing has changed. Like,
Seungri's
we
out
all
there
go along
trying to open up another club in just another country. You know what I mean? Like, he's still out there doing his thing, and he's probably still doing the same stuff.
Yeah. And that other guy, I forget his name, but the really bad guy who went to jail for the longest time. What is that man's name?
The guy who's like, he was in variety shows, and he's a... Oh, yeah, yeah, I know you're talking about.
Yeah,
oh my God,
yeah.
He's so hot, and I thought he was like the cool bad boy, but clearly was like a real bad boy.
No. Yuck. He's like out, now that he's out of jail and everything, he's like out in France at clubs partying and probably doing God knows what.
They're places where like nobody knows them, doesn't have that like shame or whatever, and they're just gonna live their lives doing the same things.
But yeah, that's exactly it. That was that, like, from our like global outside of South Korea perspective, we're like, oh, Burning Sun was like the exception, that was like the one crazy thing and then everybody got caught and it's over. And it's like, no, that was just the biggest star, there being enough proof to go after it. But otherwise, it's just like, it's still mm-hmm. happening. It's just underground. You don't see it. It's in the dark. Mm-hmm. But yeah.
I'm curious if... If more details will come out at all, or if they're just going to try and bury it.
I'm sure details will come out. I mean, if there's police reports, if there's court records or anything that's public that the media can get their hands on, absolutely. I know there's a lot of, like, crazy rumor type things now, and at first I thought maybe our wonderful internet stalking K-pop stans were uncovering things and, like, you know, doing their own investigative reporting, but it seems all of the allegations seem like they don't really hold up when scrutinized, and just people trying to stir the pot. So I don't know, I'm sure we'll find out more one day.
I'm sure. It's still early on, so we'll see what happens.
But speaking of people stirring the pot, oh my god, Minhee Jin, this lady. Oof. So we have talks about her on multiple episodes she's going.
she has a whole, like, K-drama by herself.
Oh, yeah. They are absolutely going to model a K-drama after her at some point. But yeah, she has finally been ousted as the CEO of Adore. She was replaced by an HR person, which I find to be hilarious, because with everything that she's been doing and saying, and going back to some of the original stuff that I talked about with her and, like, the underage girls and the sexualization of them, yada yada, like, replacing her with a human resources individual is just,
it's just chef's
icing chef's on
kiss,
the cake,
right?
Absolutely. So she was removed from her role as CEO by Adore's board of directors following the conflict that's been going on for months and months and months. Despite her removal, Adore stated that she would remain on the board and continue to produce music for NewJeans, but she has rejected that contract to continue producing NewJeans. She thinks that it was, you know, unfair. There's a quote from a statement that she released recently saying, quote, "The contents of the work contract sent by Adore are unilateral and unreasonable, making it difficult to see it as a proposal for me to take on the producing duties. The board required me to sign it by today." And I think that this is from August 30th. But I've decided that I cannot do so. So she's saying, you know, she received this contract the day after the board meeting. It required her to continue producing music for NewJeans for just over 2 months until November 1st.
And then what? What would happen after that? Like, she's gone?
I don't know. But she was also kind of complaining about that, too, I think. But Adore refuted, saying that the contract was meant to cover her role until November 1st when her contract for internal directorship expires. So they're saying, quote, "Any contract beyond that date would need to proceed alongside the renewal of the other contract." So I think, like, just contractually, that all was lining up with the way things were going anyway. But she specifically pointed to clauses in the contract that would allow the company to terminate the agreement immediately if her work performance was deemed insufficient or if the company's business circumstances changed. So she argued that that essentially was giving them unrestricted power to remove her from her role at any time, calling it a, quote, "trick designed to force her to reject the contract."
I mean, it might have been. But she didn't have to reject it. She could have, I don't know, I guess she could have continued, but maybe she's, like, too prideful.
Yeah, I don't know. So at this point, she's, as of right now at this moment, she's not involved with Adore or NewJeans anymore, but many expect that she will launch an intense legal dispute, which I'm sure she will, absolutely, to improve her position after being backed into a corner, they say. So she's reportedly considering her legal options. So I'm sure that she is going to drag this on and on and on and on and on, probably exhaust all of her resources in order to try to fight this fight, and kind of to what end at this point, honestly.
Well, you know what I think she might try to do or want to do, and I don't know, maybe she's playing the long game. I think eventually she wants to take the group and maybe do her own thing, because it seems, I mean, they have come out with letters like in support of her. The moms are in support of her, so like I think she has some sort of hold with them, that and they find some sort of loyalty. But I don't know if the girls were smart, I wouldn't go with her. Like, even if you're loyal, I'd be like, you stick with fucking Hybe. Like, you will be good and you will be fine without her. You don't need her. But that's the only play I could see, like, if she's trying to kind of steal them.
But still, they have their own contracts, and I don't know.
Well, that's what I'm saying, it might take some time, but they also could as a group be like, okay, we'll stay until whatever their contract is, 3 years, 4 years, 5 years, and then be like, then we'll come to you. But I don't know, and also a lot could happen within those years if that is the case that she's trying to do.
I feel like not to be the hater, but I feel like New Jeans, they had their moment. I feel
they
peaked very quickly, and it's just a slow descent. Well, from now, probably.
I don't think this helped them. I think if she didn't get in their fucking way, they could have kept going and peaking, and I think this puts a little stain on them. And Hybe also doesn't necessarily need New Jeans. They have a lot of other girl groups, that could be profitable to them, and they're constantly coming out. There's girls probably on deck training to be the next group, so they don't need them necessarily. Yeah. And they could also keep them in the sense of, like, look at how Blackpink was, where, like, they never really released that much music afterwards, but they had the fame, and then they played off of that. So, like, they could easily become that, but are you happy with that, you know? And how successful can you be? Like, the Blackpink girls all found their own lane too, and some of them did solo, some of them are in fashion, like, some of them are acting now. Like, they made their own money and fame individually as well. New Jeans, I think the only person's name I remember is Danny. Like, I don't, you know what I mean? Like, they're not at that level yet. Can they be? Maybe, but it's the future seems very unclear for me, for them.
Yeah, I don't know. It's interesting. I can't wait to see some more pictures of Minhee-jun, like, looking unshowered and disheveled and distraught. She's
so bad. She's making all the wrong strategic moves, in my opinion.
Absolutely. So, like, so bad. I don't know. But speaking of Hybe's other girl groups, we were gonna...
With the exception of Tail, this has been a Hybe episode.
Wait.
Right? We have Suga. We had Minhee-jun. And now?
I guess what do we have? We have Le Sserafim.
Hey, yeah.
Which, I don't know that there's any drama behind this. I feel like people be hating on this song, Crazy, that just came out. But we were gonna... So, have you heard it?
It just came up on my YouTube yesterday, and I was like, oh. So I clicked it. I did not listen to the whole thing, and I wasn't really actively paying attention too much to it. But in my head, I was like, oh, I have to talk to Robin about this, because... I just found the music video interesting because it reminded me a lot of what aespa's doing and what I saw in Eileet's Magnetic video, where and Lisa's Rockstar music video, where they have all these like cool shots and scenes and like 3D images, and things are popping out of nowhere, and like things don't really make sense in the video. There's not really a story, it's just like shit is happening, and it's very like alien and futuristic. And I just had that comment. I'm like, this is a weird trend. I am kind of digging it. But I do want to like rewatch it. Because I first vibes, I wasn't really sure how I felt about it.
All right. Let's go take a look at Le Sserafim's Crazy music video. See what you think. Act like an angel and dress like crazy. Hold the girls like yelling, yelling. Hold the girls like yelling, yelling. Hold the girls like yelling, yelling. Hold the girly girls.
Okay, I think I liked it better now the second time. Like, I think it had to like get to me. It's very catchy. I like the music video. I love the dancing. I liked it. I actually really liked it. And I love the little at the end. Did you see how it said meaningless?
Yeah.
It's just so random. And I'm so curious to like really dive in and like understand if there's someone out there that like dissected the music video and everything, right? If there's like little Easter eggs.
Yeah. I love it. I do. I truly love it. And I am so happy that if they're gonna do a song like that and they're gonna Vogue and like reference the ballroom scene, it feels more like a reference than appropriation, because they had the House of Juicy Couture members as their background dancers. So I'm very familiar with Lolita, Tati, and Brooklyn from House on Fire, was a show about the House of Miyake Mugler. You know, I can't pretend like I know everything in the world about the ballroom scene, but as an ally, I am familiar with it enough that I recognized them when the video came on, and I was like, yes, finally. Like, give the recognition to the people that you are, you know, not stealing, but, you know, taking the dance moves of, basically. So I want to shout them
inspired by.
I want to shout them all out by name, because I think it's important to acknowledge these background dancers finally getting their time in, you know, the spotlight. Being in a K-pop video is a huge thing. So the members were in the video were Lolita, Tati, Kamiya, Brooklyn, Shakim, Dede, Antonio, Mickey, and Simba. So
love it. No, that was great. I really enjoyed that too. I was really proud of them for doing that.
I love that. I love that so much.
And they also ate. Like, I'm sure they got their choreographies probably created by them, and they did so well.
Yeah. It really felt, it didn't feel wrong. A lot of the times when I see stuff like that, I roll my eyes and I'm like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
But it's so nice, because I saw on Lolita's Instagram, like, they'd gone to Korea. It's not like the girls came here. Like, they all went to Korea to shoot it. I'm sure that they got to feel like they were actively involved and, like, really getting to show that ballroom and voguing and that type of dancing is legitimate art. It's an art form. It's not just something that a K-pop group can steal and appropriate and be like, oh, this is cute.
No, they did it right. Really, really, I'm really glad they did that. Yeah. I love it. So, that was good.
Yay. All the girls are girling.
All the girly girls.
I mean, I'm not going to lie, it's probably not going to make it to the My Song of the Year playlist, but it might.
Never know, but yeah.
All right, well, our hype-heavy episode has come to an end.
Ooh, the alliteration.
All right, so thank you all for tuning in today. Make sure to follow us on Instagram and YouTube at K-Pop Hot Sheet and rate us on Apple Music and Spotify if you enjoyed the show. Also, turn notifications on Spotify by clicking the bell icon if you want to be notified of new episodes when they're uploaded. I think we still have time to make our goal of, what do we need? We need 24 episodes by the end of the year.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we're at 19. Oh, yeah, we could do that because that's an episode a month.
We can do it. We're going to do it.
We can do it. We can do it.
All right. So until next time. Bye.
Bye.